You know, I don't know how else to describe it, but there really are times when you can sense the spiritual warfare. And then when I got here this morning, and I thought, something smells funny. And I'm looking around elsewhere, and I'm thinking, okay, did Larry get the riding lawnmower out and, you know, lay it out someplace? And then I saw the van. And I know that we've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering around the world in places. Aren't you glad this world is not our home?
Amen.
You know, and I know it's a slight thing, but there have been times when something has been, for instance, said to me, and it's like the wicked one gets behind it and puts so much power behind it. One time, someone cussed me out, and I literally had to pull over in my car and stop because I was shaking. About 30 seconds later, I just started shaking, and I honestly can't remember what that person said. So, you know, we're in a situation where we've got an enemy, but I am so glad greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
So, yes. So, all right, I'm forgetting. We didn't pray yet, did we? Boy, we need to pray. Even if we did, I want to pray again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, so now, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us. Use your word, I ask, in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Now, before I begin, I want to let you know something. The text that I'm going to be using, I am not looking at bringing a rebuke to anyone. I want to use it as a build-up to help bring together a little bit of what we looked at last week. For those of you that were here, you know we were looking at prayer and fasting. And I made the statement that I really believe that I've sinned, I've done wrong, because the Lord was talking to me about this theme, and the Lord has used it to bless my heart, but I haven't preached it to you like I should have. So in doing this, in bringing this, as we looked at this particular passage, again, I just want you to know I'm not doing that, but I do want to do this. In several weeks, I want to remind us of this. Number one, it's Resurrection Sunday. Now, as far as I'm concerned, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. This is when we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is risen. But Easter Sunday is that particular time that we really say, hey, this is Resurrection Sunday. Secondly, it's also this. It's the Sunday that we're going to be starting with evangelist Dwight Smith. Now, how many of you would love to see God work? Amen?
Amen?
So for that reason, I believe with all my heart that we need to grasp the significance, the opportunity, and just stop and individually think, Lord, you know, how can you use this? I am convinced we've got a mountain to climb. We have a mountain to climb. But God can give us the ability to do that. One of the first stops, speaking of a mountain, one of the first stops that we took when we were in Israel was Mount Carmel. That was fascinating. When we were in Israel, what, 8 years ago, seven, 8 years ago? Something like that. Seven? Okay. When we were in Israel, and to be up there and understand the significance of the valley that we are looking at, but then also remember just what took place there. Here you have a man, Elijah, who showed up. All of a sudden, he's just on the scene. And he pronounces a judgment on Israel. And it doesn't go over well, not only with the priesthood, but also the politicians. And because of him, Israel indeed is going through judgment. And now he is going to be coming head to head with those that not only hate him, but also oppose him, would wish he was dead, including the king. And with that area, we're not going to get completely in it, but with that area, let's start 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? By the way, let's understand this. There's going to be people that are going to blame us for the problems in America, no matter what. We have the answer. We have Jesus Christ. But they will look at us and believe they are doing God's work if they seek to get rid of us, to shut us up. It's always been, it will continue to be, until the Lord make things right. Let's keep going, verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Verse 21, And Elijah came unto all the people and said, and here it is, a very familiar passage, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Now that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if there is a God, we need to know that God, right? Now, I know there are people out there that they deny that, but the fact of the matter is, if you pressed them, they would have to admit that yes, if there is a God, he is worth knowing. And the answer that they gave Elijah was this, they said nothing. They said nothing. So he comes to them with something that really makes perfect sense. If the Lord is God, then we need to listen to him. We need to follow him. We need to know what he says. We need to understand his wisdom. We need to see him as he desires to be seen. But now, if it's Baal, okay. Let's get rid of all that corresponded with the God of heaven. Let's just go after Baal. Now, I can imagine that these people are like us. Why, they said nothing. Because the fact of the matter is, when something is preached to us, when something is taught, the vast majority of time, people will stop and they'll go, all right, I'm thinking about this. And I can understand that. After we looked at what we did last week, I can imagine that some might be thinking, well, I just don't know. I've either tried it before or I've known people, when it comes to prayer and fasting. Number one, I can tell you it works. I can tell you that by experience. But secondly, from the testimony of God's word. So we're going to look back in that a little bit. Now go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. I want to show you one other passage. Here is Christ. He has risen. He is now being seen. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some, what?
Doubted.
See, here's just another illustration, we're not going to go to any more. But that word, that Greek word doubted, just literally means uncertain which way to go. Because, you know, there are times when the sensors, you know, when we're kind of overwhelmed. Wow, this is incredible. Now, this is what we've got to do. We have to get settled on, do we believe God's word? Well, of course we do. We're independent fundamental Baptists. That doesn't mean a thing. Because there are people, it doesn't matter what it says on the outside of the building, if there has not been an acquiescence of the heart, if people are not, and Satan is subtle, and remember, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked to the point of, who can know it? So please consider that. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you, if you really sat down, maybe we were talking one-on-one, if you really sat down, we had a good conversation, you would admit, you know, there is something in my life, I really have a prayer request. There is something, there is some place, there is someone, I want God to work. Right? So the question comes to this. Does God work? Does God answer prayer? Amen. In other words, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if there's somebody else, then let's sell the property, split it up, the money amongst us, and let's be gone. Because we've been wasting our time here. Folks, we haven't been wasting our time. We haven't been. So there has to come a time where the doubt goes away. Where what is said, and we're going to go back to 1 Kings 18, but the situation there, we leave it behind. Simply put, this is what winds up happening. There are just times we hesitate. There's times, you know, and we've talked about this before. This, okay, I've got to decide, is this really what God is calling me to? In fact, go ahead and go back to 1 Kings 18. Go ahead and go back to 1 Kings 18. We're going to be going several places this morning. Now look again at verse 21. Look again there. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? That literally reads, how long hop ye about two bows? Kind of a kick. What it's alluding to is this. A bird that goes from this branch to this branch to this branch to this branch to this branch. The bird can't decide where to stay. This can't decide. That's what this alludes to. How long halt ye between two opinions? To one degree or another, and for many reasons, we may be hesitant in making decisions in our lives. Listen, but when God has spoken, there ought not to be any hesitation. All right, do I have everybody's attention right now? All right, I want you to follow me on something. Please follow me. There may come someone to preach, or it might even be me. You may be thinking he's preaching his opinion and not a clear commandment or doctrine of God. And you may be right. If someone gets up and you're thinking about how they're using the passage, and it's like, that's not what that text says. He's taking it, and like we've talked about before, you take a text out of a context and make it a pretext. And so what winds up happening? And I've heard pastors do this. I've heard preachers do this, where they take a text. In fact, I heard one just recently, and I thought, that's foolish. That's mishandling God's word. That's not right. What we need to do, as far as in our four walls, or wherever you might be in hearing God's word, This is what the requirement is. This is what the requirement is. Like, for instance, right here, right now. Number one, the preacher. The preacher. The preacher needs to preach with the authority of the Word of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, preach with the authority of the Word of God. If the preacher, in this case me, gives an opinion, ought to make it clear that that's exactly what he's doing. But what I'm presenting to you this morning, I do not believe is my opinion, and we will be looking at that. But that's what the preacher needs to do. But if you're preaching, if the preacher is preaching a life-changing conviction born of the Scriptures, it falls upon me by God's grace to make that clear. And that's what I want to do this morning. So here's the point. Church, the gathering, the fellowship, we're not here to fulfill a requirement. God's word is open, right? Who matters more, God or the preacher? Exactly, no brainer. So it's what we're going to be reading there. So there's the requirement for the preacher. Hey, let's think about the hearer now, okay? The hearer. Listen to the word preached by the power and discernment of the Holy Spirit. Question, did you ask God to help you hear his word this morning? Amen. Just a thought. Amen. Just a thought. It's needful. There are those I know in this auditorium right now that when you have heard someone preach, suddenly what gets said, it's like, wow. And God speaks. You didn't see it coming, but pow! You were seeking for the Lord to speak to you. Secondly, when God's word is open, the hearers of God's word will stand accountable, which means this. We will stand accountable, all of us, for what the word of God says right now. Amen? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Look at verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now, did you hear what I just said? If anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is that possible to do?
Yes.
Answer, yes. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. How many of you would definitely say that you look different right now than when you first got up this morning? And we are so thankful. And you know what helped you with that? It was a mirror. God's word is a mirror. Watch. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, verse 25, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, with everything that we've said right now, this is why last week, when it came to doing the prayer and fasting, I included this point. Commanded or commended. There are areas where we are commanded. There are other areas, though, that we are commended. One example is this. The Apostle Paul was single. And we're not going to go to the text right now. I don't want to take the time, but many of you understand the passage where he basically said, you know, if you need to be married, if God has not guided you in that, then be married. But I think that being like I am is a better thing. That's his opinion, that he believes that it is best for him to be single the way he is, doing what God has called him to do. There he commended his manner of life to others. Hey, if the Lord wills it, believe me, you'll be better off for it in serving God. All right? That's what he commended. But there are other times where we are commanded. I do not believe we are directly commanded to fast. But I do believe God's word is clear. And that's why it's worth it to get up in this pulpit and say, hey, we have a situation where we are in a time where there is a definite need. You're in James right now. Go back to Matthew, if you would. Matthew 17. Again, we looked at this, and it's very much worth repeating. Here were the disciples. They sought to do the right thing. It didn't happen as they thought. Lord, what is taking place? Look at verse 14, Matthew 17. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Now, were they not doing God's work, yes or no? All right. Had they not cast out demons before? Yes. It didn't happen here. It didn't happen here. Look at verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, now listen to this, please. O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Don't you realize what you're up against? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why couldn't we do it? We've done it before. Why couldn't we? Look at what Christ answered. And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Unbelief. Now, we have trusted Christ as Savior, right? We have? Do I need to have an invitation right now? We've trusted Christ as Savior. How many of you have trusted Christ as Savior? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. So we have believed that he is our Savior. Are there places where we struggle to believe? The answer is yes. We wind up, we always cite Peter getting out of the boat. I praise God, Peter got out of the boat. But each and every one of us have at least one time, and probably many times, we've looked at the waves. And suddenly we're forgetting about believing in Jesus for that. All of a sudden it's, Lord, save me, if you can. There are times when we go through this, and our Lord is seeking, by the testimony of the disciples and what he has taught them, the Lord is trying to tell us, you haven't learned it all yet. There's unbelief that winds up coming into your life. And remember how we talked about, you know, setting our sights, looking above, setting aside treasure above. He said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's go back to this. Go back to verse 20. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. That's not much faith, but it is faith in that particular situation. You shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, and here's the situation, howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. There are situations. Are you listening? There are situations. There are people. There are times when we desperately need a true fullness of the power of God. I believe with all my heart we are in that time. Look, my wife and I are flying out to Washington, D.C. tomorrow. D.C. is in chaos right now. It's in chaos. When we were there before, I mean, we were rejoicing that we had a situation where we have elected a president that it seems like, and right now it's continuing to look like, that for the most part, he stands with God's people, religious freedom, etc. Amen? You think Satan's happy about that? You think he's pushing for a time when there will be those again that will say, you know what? You got to change what you believe. You don't think that's happened? Two people that have run for president and one is looking like he's going to run for president has already said that. Folks, with those that are opposing us, and not just in the political realm, but in the cultural realm, in the entertainment realm, my soul, in the business realm, we are up against it. My desire is this. I would love to keep the freedom. Maybe we're not going to wind up having it, but I'm telling you, it's not because it was taken away from us. We gave it away. There are enough of God's people that could storm the throne of grace and their specific places of power and absolutely turn things around. But we don't believe it. And the reason why I say we don't believe it is because we're not seeing people do what I just said. We need God's people who are listening. They're saying, you know what? I'm not going to go after Baal. It's you, Lord, the God of heaven. All right. Hey, listen. He says, you're up against certain situations. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So it might not be commanded, but I'll guarantee you, the Lord just commended it. I want to share with you 2 points, and then we're going to be done. Going to go through this as quick as I can. Number one, write this down if you would please. Authority and ability. Authority and ability. Go back to Matthew 28. Look at Matthew 28 again. Look at verse 18. In verse 18, the Lord Jesus says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now, that Greek word that translates power there is the one that basically means authority. All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Because I have all authority, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 7. Again, this is Jesus. In a few moments, he is going to be ascending up into heaven. But this is what he says. Verse 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own authority. The Greek word translates authority. Now look at verse 8. But ye shall receive dunamis, ability. That mirrors verse 9 from Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach, because I have the authority, I will give you the ability through the Holy Spirit. He says here the very same thing. But ye shall receive ability after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. All right? We look to our God and we recognize our God has all authority. At least that's what we're supposed to see. And that he's given us ability. He has the authority over us, over the world, and over the wicked one. Therefore, we can go out and he will give us the ability to preach and teach what he has commanded us to preach and teach, to go into all the world. But there are times in doing that we need to have some prayer and fasting, because Satan just doesn't roll over and say, okay, just have at it. Write this second thing down. And this is the title of the message: conviction or conforming. Go to Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4. Now, again, we were here last week. Matthew 4, I have said it so many times before, in this area where Satan comes to tempt Jesus. Jesus is teaching us how we come face to face with Satan in our own lives. It's not a power encounter. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's not what the Lord taught us. It's a truth encounter. It is what? It is written. Look at verse 4. But he answered and said, Jesus, it is written. And then this is what we looked at. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So there we have, all right, that which you're going to eat right after the service this morning, that's not what keeps you going. That's not the only thing that keeps you going. That's not the only thing that sustains you. This book right here, this sustains you. And if you had to make a choice, make this choice. Now, go to John, John chapter 6. And again, we were there this last week, but this is important. John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus, in identifying himself, speaks of the same thing. Verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the what? The bread of life. Okay, so in Matthew, we just read, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So there's the word. Jesus is the word incarnate, as we learn in John chapter 1. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Watch this. I am the bread of life. John 6:35. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise God! Here's the thing that we have in this. You can go after the physical food, you leave that behind, and you'll start getting hungry. You take Jesus Christ, you're never going to be hungry. You just keep with him. Hey, there is no other need. There is no Baal to go after. There is no Muhammad. There is no Allah. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified, risen again. You feed on him, you're satisfied. Amen. You're satisfied. But here's the thing. He is the bread of life. So I want us to start bringing this together real quick. When we talk about conviction or conforming, this is what I mean. If I ask you to fast and pray, and you do so because if you feel like I'm bugging you, do I ever bug you? I'm so glad I didn't hear you say amen. If you feel like it, I'm bugging you, so you know, we better do this, you know, it'll please the preacher, I'll sign up for that, you know, I'll fast and pray, then we've got a problem. But if we collectively open our hearts and we come together on this and say, look, let's agree with this. Whether or not it was commanded, God has used it before. And in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in one particular situation that if you go up against this kind of power from the wicked one, it takes prayer and fasting. Then we as a church would say, you know what? Let's do this. Now, we talked about the different kinds of fast. You don't have to fast for a day. You can fast for a meal. You can eat no pleasant bread, like it says in Daniel chapter 10. It is something whereby you wind up getting a hunger, and that hunger drives you to the God of heaven. I'm telling you, it's a joy. It's a joy. When your body says, hey, I want some attention, your habits say, hey, over here, and you say, sorry, I'm not listening to you right now. I'm spending some time with the God that loves me. You can just set aside. I'll be back with you when he tells me to go back to you. That's what we're talking about. See, conforming is the easy way to get along in so many areas. We can go along to get along. But if we just conform in one situation, so often we'll carry that over into other areas. The world says conform. The world isn't looking for equality. They want us to shut up about the gospel. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
They don't want us calling sin, sin. Have you noticed that? You think they're going to stop?
No.
You think the wicked one is going to say, well, you know, I've kind of rattled their cage a little bit enough. I'm off to the races. No, that's not going to happen, is it? He's not going to quit. They're not going to quit. I just praise God. Our God is not going to quit.
Amen.
So, our conforming ought to come from this. Our conforming ought to come from the Word of God, from this book. We aren't worried about it. Or there are people that it's really been that tough. Oh yeah, ask the Christian baker from Colorado, who, by the way, was just exonerated for a second time, praise God. Ask the Christian florist from Washington. Ask the Christian couple who owned a bed and breakfast and would sometimes allow their situation, their place to be used for weddings, to see if it was worth taking a stand that was biblical. They wouldn't conform. They had a conviction. Our conforming ought to come from the book. I have one other place that I want to send you, and then we're going to be done, okay? I want you to go to the book of Malachi. Book of Malachi. I did a big boo-boo this last week. I had said, we're not going to have a service Sunday evening. We're going to have a gathering. And apparently there were a good number of people that thought, oh, okay. Well, you know, if it's really not going to be all that serious, I got other things I need to do. Well, the fact of the matter is it was real serious. I don't know why I approached it like that, but after we were done, I was contented with the fact that Roger told me on more than one occasion, you know, you overdid it in calling it a gathering. This is part of what I wanted to say. I'm not going to bring the whole thing, but this is part of what I wanted to say. So those of you that were here this last Sunday night, please, my apologies, but you're going to hear something again. This is what I'm hoping for. I praise God for the pulpit, but I get so excited when I think about what can take place in the chairs, in the pews, when people are listening to the Word of God, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but they're in the Word of God. God is speaking to them. They have set aside their pride. They've set aside their own agenda. And it's, Lord, I want what you want, pure and simple. Like Paul, I am dead unto self and alive unto you. The book of Malachi is a situation where the Lord came to Israel, and then there would be 400 silent years. But the Lord came to Israel, and he challenged Israel. Look, there's this sin, there's that sin. You're saying this, you're not doing that. What's going on? And their attitude so many times was, what are you talking about? You know, you've got to be awful stupid to have that kind of an idea and express that before the God of the universe. That's called dumb. Malachi chapter 3, I want you to see verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? See, here's some people that are looking at each other, and for some reason, they're thick-headed or thick-hearted enough, they're not recognizing God's listening. I got one of those Alexa, the little tiny Alexa things in my office now. I feel like at times putting a hammer to it. I mean, I kind of play with it a little bit, but doesn't it bug you when there's something there and it's listening? I mean, I know you can say, well, yeah, but you know, our phones do that and stuff. We've gotten used to it. That's terrifying. But you know what? Our God is listening too. We ought to let that sink in a little bit. Casual conversation, thoughts of the heart, our God is listening too. What are they saying? You know what? This just isn't worth it. Now again, with some, we can take that to the extreme. But with others, we don't have to. We might get to thinking, well, you know, here's something in the Bible. We're talking about prayer and fasting. Here's something. Well, you know, it's not commanded. You know, I'm not on the front line spiritually. By the way, if you ever tell yourself that, you've just bit into the lie of the wicked one. Don't ever think that. You are a believer. You've got a target on your back the size of a Mack truck. Let's never forget that. But we wind up thinking, you know, it isn't worth it. I remember hearing the testimony of a pastor who was bitter, he was discouraged, he was with another pastor, and he looked this other pastor in the eye and he said, it's nothing but a big game, isn't it? Now, don't judge him. Don't judge him. We're talking about the spiritual warfare. That can be tough. I hope and pray that that man found answers. But this is what these people are saying here. You know, it just isn't worth it. Look at verse 15. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that tempt God are even delivered. You know, there's just no problem. But this is what I was after. Look at verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. This is what's going on. This is what I desire. And I can't make it happen, but I can pray that it happen. And it's not that I think that it hasn't happened before, or maybe it's happening now. But there winds up being an atmosphere in this local church where It's not so much what got preached from the pulpit. It's what is going on in the hearts. And there might be others, you know, they're just not serious about it all. You know, they come and they go, you know, and just, they're not serious. But somebody or somebodies are going, you know what? I've been wrong. God's told me about my sin. I haven't been faithful. I've been shopping and not faithful. I've been like the bird. I've been twittering here and twittering there and whatever tickles the ears or makes exciting instead of getting serious with my local church and saying, you know something? I am here to serve. And you know what else? God is good. And you know something else? The people that have been saying this other stuff, they're wrong. They're wrong. And somebody hears somebody else say this, and they start talking. And then they talk some more. And then one of them says, hey, I heard somebody, they were kind of talking the same thing. Hey, let's talk to them. I'm not talking about a clique. I'm talking about people that start gathering together. And the thing that draws them is not a hobby, not what they read on the internet. The thing that draws them is God. And it isn't something that has to be into... what's the word all of a sudden? That has to be instigated from the pulpit. It has flown from the Spirit. You know, we're going to pray. I've told you before, and it's not that it was always perfect. Please don't misunderstand. But I've told you before that there are times I look back when I was doing concrete, and those times were so precious. I'm thinking of some times right now, some real times. I mean, we're working the concrete. The guys are, you know, we got the trowels out, you know, doing the job. It's a cloudy day. The concrete isn't blowing up on us. You know, it's not going fast. And so just kind of having at it. And, you know, while we're doing the deep joints and we're doing the edges and we're getting ready to broom and just, you know, finishing up, we're talking about the Lord and how good he is. I love that. No pastor there to make that happen. Just talking. You know, that's why, like, the two-minute warning is so great. When guys get together and they just start, you know, they talk, hey, ain't God good? By the way, isn't God good? You didn't hear that from the pulpit. You heard it from me. I mean, you know what I mean? There were two things that took place here, and then we're done. God remembered, God rewarded. He says, I'm going to remember these people when I make up my jewels. I've got them. They're in my heart. Listen to them. There's these other people. They don't care about, you know, they have to get paid. They have to be, they have to have some kind of reward if they're going to do anything for me. But here's these people. They're talking to one another. And they have a reverence for me. They're faithful. They're there. They're serving me because they love me. Not because I had to bend their arm. That's what I was going to say last Friday night. There was going to be a few other things. I had some more up there, but I'm gonna go ahead and leave it now. We're just gonna stop at it there. So see, we've got some reason to really give a spiritual approach. I mean, storm the throne of grace in the next several weeks. How many of you have unsaved loved ones that you are really concerned about, raise your hand. Are they worth missing a meal? How about two meals? And not that you know, whatever you can do, is it worth sometimes just shutting the television off and using that time? And I know, you know, your mind is going to be going, yeah, but I want to say, oh, just shut up. Self, get back on the altar. See, that's what we're talking about here. It's amazing how God speaks when he knows that you are ignoring all other voices. So I ask you, it might not be commanded, but because we see it commended, could we have some people in this church going, you know what? Because I want to see God work. Let's pray.